May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. I have to admit, I smiled a couple of times this morning, and it's all good because it's about prayer. The gospel is a lot about prayer. And it was funny because Kara was so energetic to start the processional, which was good. But I was still up here, so I had to run down there. But the excitement, you know, is great. Unfortunately, we didn't get to pray, but that's okay. And the next thing that made me smile was Mark. And it was great because when she finished reading the song, I hope you don't mind, she just was so taken with it and so, like, energetic and inspired by the song, which I was too. She ended up with a different ending. You know, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And glory is all about what the sermon is, you know, referring to today. But, and then she remembered, and we ended with the refrain. But, you know, that's good. When scripture, or being in church, or singing hymns, when that energizes us, that's what we're supposed to all be about. So it was kind of funny that it all happened on a day when we were having lessons about prayer. Now, I'd like to start with a very small paragraph. It's by F.D. Maurice, and it reminded me of the Kabbalah. We have seen how closely the kingdom of God is connected in the New Testament with an epiphany or manifestation of the divine glory in human weakness. The Son of Man in his cradle. The Son of Man in his baptism. The Son of Man in his acts of healing power was shown forth through the veil of his flesh. His glory and his Father's, and the glory of the holy angels. He was showing that glory not to be destructive, but life-giving and restoring. For me, the call really starts us off because we pray, may we be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness. And what is his likeness? What is the showing of that glory? What is all of that? We are not to be destructive. We are never to be destructive. Jesus is never destructive. He is always life-giving and restoring. And that's what we're to be about. Now, as we get to the gospel, this particular gospel is a turning point. Right before this gospel is when Jesus had realized, he kind of finally got it, or was confessing that Jesus is the Messiah. And also Jesus was trying to teach them, because it was a hard lesson to learn, the cost of true discipleship. And then here we have, this is where the prayer part starts off. Jesus took with him, after their long day, Peter and James and John, and they went up to the mountain to pray. Now the thing is, we hear in Jesus prays and prays and prays and prays all the time. We would think he didn't need to because he's God Almighty. But yes, he is God Almighty, but he is also a human being, 100% human being. And Jesus was trying to teach us and show us the need of being in constant communication with our Father, God the Father. And also, prayer helps us to really feel the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to work. Prayer is needed. And both the Gospel and the Old Testament shows us that prayer changes us. Not only internally, but externally. Moses shone, his face shone,
Jesus' face changed. His clothes became bright. Prayer changes us. Because with prayer, no matter how small we start, prayer keeps our relationship and deepens our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they saw him. His face changed and his clothes changed. And then what happened? Suddenly, two men appeared. It was Moses and Elijah. And we know that they represent the Old Testament. So it's a kind of an epiphany with the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. The law, the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses and Elijah, who was the best of the best of the prophets. Now what they were talking about was how he was going to enter into Jerusalem. So they were there to try to let him know he's on the right track because he was going to be crucified in Jerusalem. It was getting close to his time being ended. And although they were tired, James and John and Peter, they had stayed awake. And they were very fortunate to do that. Now, Peter also, as I told you before this, had really said right out that Jesus was the Messiah. But he still wasn't totally comprehending the scope of that. He wasn't getting that Jesus was the one, the best, the only, the perfect, the Son of God. He didn't realize yet that Jesus had supremacy over the Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament is great, but Jesus is best. So what happens? Peter, as usual, with his mouth, he was an extrovert, we know that. Good person, but just really always opened his mouth sometimes. Not quite right. He says, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he didn't realize what he was saying. He was making Jesus equal with the two Old Testament figures. But that's not what God the Father wanted. So what happened? The cloud came, and they heard God Almighty's voice. And this is another epiphany, God's confirmation. He says, this is my Son, and in some gospel, my beloved. This is my chosen. Listen to him. And when the cloud went away, all they saw was Jesus Christ. God was trying to focus them and direct them to listen only to Jesus. He was not only the beloved, he was God's chosen. He was the Son of God, the Messiah, and they were to listen to him above all else. That's what they needed to hear before the crucifixion, to give them some strength. After this, they still get more teaching. And it just shows you how sometimes not just us, but even the apostles, the disciples, they didn't get everything. They went down, and of course there was a crowd, and there was someone in need. And he says, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. He needed to be exercised. He had a demon. He had a spirit, an unclean spirit. And he says, I begged your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out. Jesus realizing that, you know, his time was limited on earth. He said, how much more do you guys need to be around me? How many more miracles do you need to see? You need to have faith in me. Trust in me. Trust in God Almighty. You know, do it now. Realize the power of God that you have inside of you. So he tells them, okay, bring me your son. And the man did. And on the way, the spirit dashes him to the ground. But Jesus rebukes the spirit, the unclean spirit, and the boy is healed. And he gives the healed, healthy, whole son back to him. And everybody was amazed. Sometimes in the Bible, we hear about the miracle, and you know, Jesus sometimes prays before a miracle, sometimes he touches, and sometimes he says, this requires fasting. All of us, like, we can tell the seasons of the year, or like when the light's going to turn red because it's yellow, we see signs around it. What's good for us is if we pray, we begin to see the signs of God, and we learn to follow them and act upon that. Prayer helps us to be able to imitate the glory of Christ. Prayer helps us to learn how to trust in Him and have faith enough in Him to have action. Prayer helps our attitude to imitate Jesus Christ, not to be destructive, always to be kind and constructive, encouraging, gentle, calming, be a comfort to each other. But it's also to be an exciting time. Prayer can give us energy to face each day, and that's not easy at many times in our lives. So for us, leading into Lent, this is a good time. Any time is a good time. But right before Lent, it is a good time to start making an effort to pray and to be able to trust in the Lord, trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and know that God never abandons us. He's always with us through thick and thin, sad times and good times. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to pray together. We thank you for just all the love and the faithfulness that we see in each other and in the world. And we just ask you to help us to be more faithful and trusting, so that we can relax in your arms and show Christ's glory. Show his love, show his energy, show his faithfulness, and encourage one another to be constructive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.